Lake Effect continues on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Portion size. It's a major bone of contention for many people who eat out in this country. You hear the complaints. People would be willing to pay the same cost if only the amount of food were limited to what one could reasonably expect to eat in one sitting. It turns out that there are some restaurants who are thinking along those lines as well, and some of them are in Milwaukee. Dining critic and Lake Effect contributor Ann Christensen writes about the trend towards smaller plates in the cover story in the December issue of Milwaukee Magazine and highlights some of the restaurants working with a smaller plate concept. She tells Lake Effect's Dan Harmon what is driving the trend nationally and locally.
Oftentimes what the chef might have a special thing going on or a very small amount of something that's a seasonal ingredient or some special ingredient, it is only a very, you know, minuscule amount of something. And yet it's usually something with a lot of flavor, a lot of texture, a lot of spark, color, everything. And I think it pretty much thumbs its nose at Milwaukee's, you know, reputation for
strapping on the feedback.
Strapping on the feedback, exactly.
Now, the restaurants that you focused on here, I believe there are 20. Is that right?
Yeah, there are 20 restaurants, but I also cover cocktails because a number of these places do interesting craft cocktail lists. There are other components as well. I have a matrix that talks about the price range, you know, because those can vary. And you can also get into the idea of how small plate sizes even can vary depending on where you go.
Is the small plate the focus, or are there only a few? Like La Miranda, that's small plates. But some
yes.
of these are small plates, and you could have
correct
regular entrees
yes.
if you prefer.
Yes, because you know, and you know, chefs might tell you. Some chefs might say this is the way they like to eat themselves, or it's the way they see the dining public that direction. The terms of restaurants, that's the way it's going. But yes, there are restaurants La Miranda. Their whole menu is exclusively small plates. Odd Duck is almost all small plates. They have maybe four or five large plates. Same with the new restaurant AP. So it's a combination of restaurants where either their entire menu or a large component of the menu is small plates, or it's something like at Mason Street Grill in their bar, they've got a special lounge small plate menu that you only order there. So it's a number of different, you know, restaurants and ways of eating and parts of their menu.
One of my first impressions was that this is, what a great idea for people who are indecisive.
Absolutely. I mean, although at the same time, you could argue that maybe that makes it worse because, you know, a small plate menus are often huge, you know, so if you've got like 20 small plates on there, honestly, I go to Odd Duck and I want to order everything and can't. So I think in a way that almost makes it worse if you're indecisive. But then the same token, and this is an argument for small plates, if you order something that you've never had before, you're not committing to a $25 entree. You're maybe committing to an $8 small plate, right? And you can share. And the whole rubric, the whole thinking behind this is that you're probably going to share it with another diner or two or more diners. And so everybody's having it, you know, eating it. And if it's something new and you don't like it, that's okay. Someone else will eat it.
And that point is mentioned many times in the article just about trying something new or being adventurous, including pig's ears.
Yeah, which
I mean, this is the time to try it, I guess, if it's a small
yeah,
plate.
Yeah, and it's actually one of the really fun little finger foods that they offer at the bar at Rumpus Room. And I shouldn't say just at the bar. I mean, if you're seated in the dining room, you can get it as well. And it really is just a little bowl full of these little fried, kind of like almost look like French fry shaped somewhat, I suppose, pieces of a pig's ear. And it's deep fried and, you know, it's battered deep fried. And then you dip it in an aioli, which is a seasoned mayo. And it's delicious. Yeah, you can try fried pig's ears. You can try fried sweetbreads. You could try duck testes, which have been on the menu at Interland. But, you know, with a number of these, I have to say, one of the big challenges of doing the story.
That must be a really small plate, by the way.
Well, it depends on how many testes we're talking about here. One of the challenges of this story was, you know, a lot of the small plate menus change often. So if I'm working 2 or 3 months in advance, that made it difficult to photograph foods, for one thing, that are dishes that might still be available, and also having the chef tell me what they might be thinking about making 2 or 3 months from now. Although there is some measure of continuity with certain things, like you might always have a scallop dish. It's just presented in a different way, seasonally, as it were. Or, you know, for instance, these fried pig's ears, it's become a very popular thing at the bar. So I don't think those are really going to go away. I found, looking at all these menus, that there were trends, you know, there were certain things that certain ingredients that seemed to come up often. For instance, over the summer, it was kale. A lot of people were doing kale salads. And I was looking for, you know, an ingredient that was coming up pretty frequently at various restaurants. Like everybody was doing meatballs or, you know, something like this. But I found by far the most common thing that restaurants were doing was pork belly, which in some ways seemed like something that had been around a long time to me. It kind of felt like, well, pork belly, everybody's had pork belly, or it's so common now, but it's really common and you will almost always find it. But, you know, I got to tell you, it's pork belly is delicious. It's great stuff. And a lot of people know what it is, so they're not afraid to order it.
Why is it everywhere? I mean, are all these things just coincidences that they all happen to have meatballs or they all happen to have kale? I mean, is there some kind of conspiracy going on here?
It is a conspiracy. No, I think, you know, and I kind of I do not overstate the pork belly thing because it really is as omnipresent as I've found it to be. You know, there's a lot of it out there.
It was worthy of its own little section.
Yeah, it really
article.
Was. Yeah. But, okay, meatballs, maybe not as much. Quail eggs, however, I'm seeing quail eggs almost. Everybody wants to put a component of an egg on some kind of dish. You know, I don't know. I think it's just, I think there's some things that are, you know, maybe really they're easy to get. They're seasonal. They found a really good supplier for it. It can work really well with certain ingredients. They're just like anything else, it becomes popular. You know, it doesn't mean everybody has it, but for a time, maybe someone will have it as a component. I don't know why kale, for instance. I think part of it is, I mean, I've been reading more about kale. You see it more. And kale, not just cooked, it's a raw, you know, raw in a salad. So I don't know, maybe people are just discovering it more. So I don't know, but pork belly was one of the things that I found that, you know, it's hard to go to a place and not find pork belly, some component.
But your article illustrates well how differently it's prepared, though. It's not just the same kind of preparation.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
What was your favorite?
Pork belly?
If you can even pick favorites here.
Wow, it's so hard to say. I have to say carnivore. It's sort of their one of their signature dishes on the menu is a ravioli, a homemade ravioli. And then the filling is there's a confit and pork belly filling inside the ravioli. So and it's pretty delicious. And that's one that I don't see. It's been on the menu a long time. That is kind of a little standby. If I were to go there, I probably would, you know, always try to order that. Mm-hmm. I think that one is really delicious.
You mentioned earlier the one of the restaurants, just kind of the number of choices you have with small plates seems to be more in some cases.
Yes.
So how does one go about pairing these with each other? I mean, some entrees, chefs have created these with each of the dishes as part of the entree in mind with each other and the wine, whatever. So, but here you have this kind of mishmash of things you can pick from. And should you even look at it as a pairing or just get what you want?
I don't really look at it as a pairing. That's not the way I would order. I would just order things that sound really good to me and interesting or unusual or something I've never had. I mean, but that's the way I would approach it. Some people might look at it, though, and say, well, I want to approach it a little bit more like I would a straightforward menu that has appetizers, salads, and entrees. So then they might want to order something. The first one, they might want it to come out as courses and have the first one be like a vegetable or a cheese plate or something, you know, and then move to something that is more meat-oriented that seemed more like an entree. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think that makes sense. I don't approach it that way. I don't mind having I'd love to have a cheese course at the end because I like that. I like that. And I like that as kind of in the place of a dessert, too. So I don't think there's any rules to it. in essence.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
How about pairing wines for those that always have wine with dinner? Seems like it's just kind of a crazy thing to do. Is to you can't pair a wine with all these divergent different dishes.
Well, you know, and I don't know that people say that you have to necessarily or anymore that people say white, you drink white if you're having fish, right? And you always drink red if you're having red meat. I don't even know if that's even true anymore. Again, I feel like you should drink what you like. I mean, if you're someone who likes, you know, Chardonnays, but you don't like red wines, why would you order a red wine because someone says, oh, this is going to be better with your ribeye small plate, and it's not even a wine that you even like? That doesn't make any sense to me.
So does that rule go out the window then? I'm not just the traditional pairings, but the idea that wines do go better with, as you said, certain foods, but you're going to have so many different kinds
of
foods.
Well, I'm not going to throw that out the window because I do think that there are wines that really are enhanced or enhance food, enhanced by or enhance what you're eating. Do you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I think there definitely are. But I also think that you should order what you like. Right. So that's my – and it's the same with cocktails.
So the drinks become their own small plate in a way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. I just want to get your take on some of the criticisms of small plates is that it just jacks up the bill, you know, because you just want to have to keep getting more and more small plates. What do you think about that?
It can. I think you absolutely can have that happen. And I've had it happen to me. You know, you get lost in the joy of or whatever of the moment and you've got all these friends around and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I want this and I want this and I want this. And in your mind, you're saying, oh, I know that's maybe $6 or $7, but you're not really tallying it, you know. And then once you get the bill, you think, oh, my God, you know, I spent as much as I would have if I ordered, I don't know, a 3-course meal at a more traditional sort of place. I think it can happen. Absolutely. You know, there are definitely small plates that you're going to order that are $18, $19 at some restaurants. Okay. So, you know, they're not all going to be $5 or $10. There is some sticker shock there. But I also don't know that I would recommend small plates to everyone. I am related to people who would say, oh, that's not enough food for me. I'll never fill up on that. And that's an argument that I've heard too. And yet I feel like you can. I don't really necessarily believe that, but I've heard it.
Well, you mentioned that expensive plate. I liked the Matrix. There are 4 parts of the Matrix,
yes,
which are both the traditional and edgy, and then there's the spendy and thrifty.
Right.
And you placed most of these restaurants out onto this Matrix, which I liked. I thought it was a really fun way to look at it.
Well, obviously that was very – the edgy versus traditional was very subjective. I was the one who said, okay, well, this menu is a little bit more on the traditional end. This menu is a little bit out there, nonconformist, edgy. So I was the one who was labeling them, you know, these restaurants that way. But, I mean, obviously I'm just trying to help people, you know, sort of if they're looking for a restaurant that maybe is a little bit, you know, maybe has a little as a steak and potatoes and roasted Brussels sprouts as opposed to a place that's, you know, where they're looking for, I don't know, a 5-spice rubbed pork belly with Asian vegetables or something that, you know what I mean, that's a little bit more unusual.
All right. Well, thank you, Anne, for coming in. Happy holidays.
Thanks. You too.
Anne Christensen is dining critic and senior editor at Milwaukee Magazine. She also writes the Dish on Dining column for the magazine's website. She is also our regular dining contributor, and she spoke with Dan Harmon. Her article on small plates is the cover story in the December issue, which is on its way toward subscribers this week and will be on newsstands next week. 2 comets may soon be streaking across a night sky near you. That's making some scientists pretty interested. We'll learn about them, the comets, not the scientists, when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.